copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
No one was more surprised to be called to the ministry than I was. I used to say to people, I didn't want to be paid to be good. I just wanted to be good for nothing. That's a kind of an American expression, you know. But the idea of that is that I just wanted to serve the Lord without having people expect me to say what I say. I wanted it to be real. I wanted to be able to answer questions not just from my head, but from my heart, to shepherd people, not just teach them. But I also recognize that a part of the sermonics of my own life is for me to also experience the reality of life this side of heaven that's filled with suffering and pain and weakness. I don't like weakness. One of the most profound questions that I had been asked, I used to answer in a very cavalier way until I was injured. And in that injury, I injured my leg, and to repair me, they had to really remove my foot and put it back on. That's why I walk with a limp. That's why I used to be a runner, and I have a very difficult time running. It's very painful to run and so forth. But all of that to say, now when people ask me the question, how do I handle my weaknesses, I don't just speak from theology. I speak from praxis. And that question comes in so many forms and statements like, Pastor, I'm so frustrated. I don't know what to do. If only I was more gifted at this and better at that. I feel so weak, and others seem so strong. It also comes very personally with questions like, why didn't God make me richer, or taller, or skinnier, or stronger, or more athletic, or smarter, or more talented, or better looking? I mean, young people are asking that today. Older people are asking that today. Everybody in between are asking these questions. And no matter how it's asked, it can be summarized in a very heartfelt question. Why am I such a weakling? I don't know how many of you have ever heard the saga of Humpty Dumpty. When you're an American child, you learn this little poem. It really is born out of the UK. And the story of a real person that I'll get to at the end and tell you who it is. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. I grew up reciting that. But it's curious theologically, because what was true of old Humpty Dumpty is only true of us in part. It is true that in the weakness of our humanity, we are prone to a great fall. But it isn't true that God can't use us and put us back together again, even with all the bumps and bruises. Because the divine strength and power of God, our King, is revealed in the weakest of human people. Do you know that? And we preach that. I'm not sure we believe it. That God prefers to use weak people. You say, well, where do you get that? Well, thank you for asking. Paul said it in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Might I read it? Verse 26 to 29. Can we take it to heart? For consider your calling, brethren. Your calling. That there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world, and the despised. God has chosen the things that are not, that he might nullify the things that are, that no man should boast before God. So I want to give you what I had to face myself when I had to have more than one surgery. When the doctor was saying, well, maybe you will live with pain all of your life, maybe you won't, it's a 50-50 chance. When I began to develop other matters, And I don't like being weak. And I used to fake it. In fact, I wore a brace up to my knee. And my church didn't know about it. Because I was afraid to tell them. Because I don't like weakness. I hid it. When I would go and do a conference, I'd have to go home. My wife can tell you, after I preached on a Sunday morning, we had three services sometimes, and so forth, I'd go home, and all day, I had my foot elevated, iced, and whatever, because I couldn't walk. Didn't tell them. I didn't like weakness. I'm a tough Italian. So I had to learn some perspective, so this is very personal. I want to give it to you. Perspective number one, weakness is our common human experience. That all of us are broken world people. Oh, no two of us are alike in our weaknesses. But here's what I've learned, that everybody's hurt is always the worst. If I break my little thumb, and you break every bone in your body, tell me, what hurts me more? So don't compare your hurt with my hurt. Oh, we love to do that, don't we? Oh yeah, well, you've got a broken thumb. Well, look at that lady over there that's broke every bone in her body. Oh, I'm supposed to feel better. Because my thumb is throbbing at night. And she's in greater pain. But I don't feel her pain. Let's be honest. Perspective number two was that we come from a long line of weaklings. My whole physical lineage is cluttered with weaklings. My father died at 49. He was an old man. His sister died at 37. His brother at 39, I believe. They just dropped dead. We have that weakness that ended up resulting in me having to have a stent in my heart. I was on treadmills. I was doing fine. They turned the treadmill off because my heart rate was fine and everything. I said, I still think you should look. And I had occlusion in the LAD in the front of the heart, the Widowmaker. And they go, we don't even know where that was. It was genetic. It wasn't even physical. I inherited the weakness. And my family would call it the hardening. Ah, but the hardness of heart, physically, emotionally, spiritually, morally. Some of you know that my cousin was the infamous gangster Al Capone. That's my heritage. He was my cousin. Right? So let's talk about the moral weakness of my family, the other weaknesses as well. But then I have a spiritual heritage as well, because in Christ, I have a heritage of people in Hebrews 11 who from weakness were made strong. That's what it says, Hebrews 11, verse 34. And I even have a Savior in Hebrews 4, 15 who sympathized with our weakness. I have an apostle by the name of Paul who had his own thorn in the flesh. One man calls it the gift of his handicap. Remember what Paul said? In chapter 12, verse 9 and 10 of 2 Corinthians, he has said to me, speaking of Christ, my grace is sufficient for you. For power is perfected in what, everybody? In weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulty, for Christ's sake. Watch this. For when I am weak, I am strong. And I was denying that in the midst of my preaching, pretending to be stronger than I was. And I had preached those passages and ignored them. We have a God who loves to use weak people. We have a Savior who understood weakness firsthand. Perspective number three, human weaknesses are not our worst flaw. Lying about them is. You know, we have learned the art of evasion. People say, how are you? And we say, what? Fine. When we're not fine, but we also know that if we say, I'm not fine, they won't care. We've learned to ignore our pain, to disregard our weaknesses, pretend that we can make it on our own. When the older I get, I turned 68 the other day. Listen to me. Let me tell you, pain doesn't always go away. We don't get over every physical, emotional, and spiritual weakness this side of heaven. Settle it. And let God use it. Perspective number four, we must learn to admit our weaknesses openly and honestly. You remember when Jacob was wrestling with the angel? And one pastor friend of mine said, if God is ever going to use you greatly, you're going to walk with a limp the rest of your life. G.K. Chesterton said the one spiritual disease is thinking that one is quite well. Do you remember a guy by the name of Samson in the Old Testament? That he man with the she weakness? Remember him? And do you remember what he says? He has the audacity to say in Judges 16, verse 17, that if Goliath cuts his hair, he would be weak like any other man. Listen, Goliath was weak. I'm sorry, Goliath. Did I say Goliath? I meant Samson. Okay. Was weak like every man. Even with his hair intact, he was emotionally and spiritually weak. Acts 14, verse 15, Paul says, we are but men. Psalm 103, verse 14, God knows our frame and he's mindful that we are but dust. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 3, I am with you in weakness. Wow. Oh, I wish we could be honest with each other today, but I don't know you enough, perhaps, and you may not trust me enough for us to be honest about some things, because some of us are limping about physically. With hearing loss, with poor eyesight, with speech problems, with constant pain, perhaps addictions to tobacco or alcohol or drugs. Some of us in this room are limping along emotionally with anxiety and depression and or perhaps a history of abuse or painful memories or overwhelmed with anger or fear or loneliness or jealousy or sensing rejection in our lives or hurting over the hurts and feeling trapped that we can't be freed from those things. Some of us are limping along mentally with ADD and dyslexia and memory loss and the inability to learn. We don't say a word to anybody. Some of us are limping along spiritually. We're losing that tug of war between the flesh and the spirit, you know? We're battling spiritual dryness and we don't admit it, you know? We preach about joy and we don't have joy. You know what we do as pastors. We fight to keep our spiritual lives in balance, but we're torn apart by secret sins. But then there are those that are limping along ignorantly, suppressing their feelings, denying how needy they are, ignoring their pain, and pretending they're just fine. C.S. Lewis said this, "Think of me as a fellow patient in the same hospital who, having admitted a little earlier, can give some advice." Perspective number five. Our weaknesses are not what cripples us. Our bad attitude toward the weakness do. I love the honesty of the psalmist. Psalm 69, verse 3, I am weary with my crying. So much so, he says, that my throat is parched. Have you ever cried so much that you're hoarse? My eyes fail while I wait for God. Psalm 42, deep calls to deep at the sound of thy waterfalls. All thy breakers and thy waves are rolled over me. I've actually been at the very place where that psalm was written. I'll be there in a couple of weeks again. There in the northern part of Israel, in a place called Tel Dan, with the rushing Jordan coming out of Mount Hermon. And he gets swamped. He's just tossed. We just had a young man who just drowned being in a river like that, where he just gets tossed and tossed. And we just found his body yesterday, last night. I got the call right here. Now, some of us feel that way. God, you swamped me. I come up for air and there's another wave. You're swamping me, God. That's honest. Perspective number six is our weaknesses are only temporary. We need to let the words of Paul pierce our hearts. Listen carefully to the words that we've heard before. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 to 18, when he says, therefore we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I mean, he's calling our pain momentary light affliction. You are dying of cancer, and he's saying it's momentary and light. Yeah, in light of eternity, it is. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 5, Paul acknowledges that all of us are groaning to be released from these earthly tents. That someday this mortal body, which is going to fall apart, every single one of us is dying. But in the meantime, our goal is to have these earthly bodies please the Lord. Number seven, our weaknesses point us to God's power. Again, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7 to 11. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. clay pots, broken pots, cracked pots, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. Wow. Number 8, our weaknesses better equip us to serve God. I had a hard time with this. I wanted to say, God, heal me. God, I could do so much more for you. But Hudson Taylor is right when he said all of God's giants have been weak people. Wow. I remember praying, Lord, I could do so much for you if I could just walk longer. If I could just go longer preaching and teaching, and I didn't have to rest, and I didn't have to do this, and the pain wasn't getting in the way. And God says, no, you've got everything I want you to have. In fact, Jim, the weaker you are, the better you serve. Ouch. Number 9, our weaknesses can draw us closer to God. I mean, we preach Matthew 11, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. We love to preach about that. I don't know that we really live it. And so do the words of Isaiah 40, verse 29 and following. Remember what it said? He gives strength to the weary. Huh. And him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. In an old circumstance, in an ongoing painful situation, they will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Number 10, we need to look beyond our weakness to the glory being revealed through them. Not easy. Remember Romans 8:18, that the sufferings of this present day are nothing compared to the glory that will come as a result of them. Again, 2 Corinthians 4:17, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison. We keep talking about glorifying God and enjoying Him forever. Sometimes God uses pain and suffering and weakness to bring that about. Number 11, we need to learn to be content in our weaknesses. That's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10, I am content with weaknesses. But when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Number 12, we must let our weaknesses stimulate us to help others who are weak. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, help the weak. In fact, it's the Greek word that means cling to those without strength. Asthenos. Thenos means strong, athenos means weak. Romans 15:1, now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. You know, there's a tendency for the strong to say, well, you know what? I got strength. You get yours too. If you didn't get it, then you know what? God blessed me and didn't bless you. There's an attitude that the strong can have toward the weak. Mentally strong. Physically strong. Some of us who preach and have the ability perhaps to study Scripture the way we do, we have a tendency to put down people who will never get it. Instead, we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those who will never fully understand it. We'll never be able to parse a Greek verb and decline a Hebrew noun. What a privilege to have a brain. Because not everybody does. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5 and 6, when Paul says he was comforted by the coming of Titus. Oh, how he needed that too. Because Paul was weak. He wept with Timothy. Remember that? 2 Timothy chapter 1. Perspective number 13, God allows some of our weaknesses to prevent us from becoming proud and self-reliant. Wow. See, the world tries to tell us that we can do anything we put our minds to. Really. I want to tell you, I will never play professional basketball. Is that a surprise to anybody? Even when I was healthy and could run, I will never play professional basketball. I grew up in Canada, tried hockey, I used to play baseball. Never was I any good. You know, I was the guy picked, not necessarily last, but close to it. I learned how to warm a bench with the backside of my body. Paul had a different perspective in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7 and 9, when he said, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself. And I entreated the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. You know what God said? My grace is sufficient for you, Paul, for power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will rather boast about my weaknesses that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Do you think that was easy for him to say? Number 14, our weaknesses are a gift. That one was hard for me. In fact, I put it last because it was the most painful. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, broken pots, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from me. Why? 2 Corinthians 4, verse 10, we're always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, Christ's power perfected in weakness. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 5, I will not boast except in regard to my weaknesses. So that we can shout to the world, my pain and suffering is a gift from a loving God. Can you say that today? My disability is a gift from an all-wise God. My limitation is a gift from a merciful God. My weakness is a gift from an almighty God. I want to end with the rest of the story of Humpty Dumpty, might I? Because it is a riddle pointing to a man by the name of King Richard III of England. 1452 to 1485. Remember, if you know the story, Richard was disfigured with scoliosis. He had a humped back. They called him Humpty Dumpty. Did you know this? And in 1485, during the last battle of the War of Roses, even though he had a very large army, King Richard was defeated at the age of 33 and killed. And guess what happened? It ended the House of York. And his death marked the end of the Middle Ages in England. And he was buried without ceremony. No one knew where he was buried. How many years ago did they find his bones? Was it like 5 years ago? Under a parking lot. Oh, Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall, his throne. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. His reign crumbled. Oh, but let me tell you, all the king's horses and all the king's men could never put King Richard back on his throne again. But we have a God who is almighty, still on his throne, and chose us as weak as we are. In all the ways that we can be weak, the foolish things to confound the wise, so that we can sing that song that we often sing, and now let the weak say, I am strong. And let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done. Give thanks. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, make it so. Thank you for allowing us to face our weaknesses with your glory in mind. Use us in spite of us. In Jesus' name.